it's undeniable that the number of breaches is going up, that the sophistication level is going up.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And this morning, we're talking cybercrime. And the person you just heard from is Leo Taddeo, head of the FBI's cybercrime division in New York. This week on Bloomberg TV, he said that these attacks are on the rise. Target, JP Morgan, Home Depot, these are just a few of the companies that hackers have gone after, and it keeps coming. Just last month, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield had a breach that compromised the data of up to 80 million customers. Reporter Kami Goetz finds that companies, both big and small, are not only scrambling to strengthen their online defenses, but to insure themselves against any financial losses.
Steve Hawkins strokes the hair of his 4-year-old English Labrador.
Sammy, good girl.
Sammy is more than a pet. She's trained to sniff out bed bugs for Hawkins' Midtown exterminator business called Five Star Environments. It's one way for Hawkins to create an edge against competitors who don't use dogs. Another is transparency. 2 years ago, Hawkins' company was hacked with a virus. Hackers stole credit card numbers and made charges until Hawkins froze all the accounts.
You're violated, both personally and then you got to think professionally about what they could be acquiring and with the information they're taking, financials of both yourself and your clients.
Hawkins told all his clients and then shored up his online security with stronger firewalls. It took a lot of money, something a small business can't always afford. But Vijay Basani says companies can't afford not to. He's CEO of EIQ Networks. It's a cybersecurity firm that specializes in small to mid-sized companies.
Majority of the companies already have some kind of presence of a compromise in their networks. Last year, more than 40% of the companies were breached.
Large multinational companies have the resources to set up data encryption and monitoring. Not so with small to mid-sized firms. That can make them easy targets. A weak link might be as simple as an employee not changing their system password. Once in, hackers can copy customer data to sell on the black market, often months before they're ever detected. Basani says companies need a strategy.
Assume that you're going to be breached one day, and if there is a breach, how do you react to it? How do you minimize the damage?
Some companies are starting to also look at insurance. John Farley is vice president of the brokerage Hub International. He says cyber risk is now the hottest area of commercial insurance. Industry researcher Advisen says the number of premiums paid for cyber insurance was $2.1 billion last year. That's up from $1.8 billion in 2013.
If you went back 10 years ago and asked the insurance buyer, the risk manager at a corporation, you know, what keeps you up at night? They might say, you know, being involved in a mass tort or a big product recall where they're getting sued. Those concerns are still very valid today, but if you ask that same question, cyber risk is always at the top.
Cyber insurance can pay attorney's fees as well as possible regulatory fines. It might also cover the cost of setting up call centers, credit monitoring, and help with PR. But not all policies are created equal. And unlike general liability policies that cover property insurance or workers' comp, there's not a lot of data.
It's much different in cyber because there's really not a lot of claims data out there. It's relatively new, and it's not readily shared.
Ed Straws is a former FBI agent who founded the Computer Crime Squad in New York. He now runs Straws Friedberg, a cybersecurity and risk management firm in Tribeca. He says companies have to be realistic on what they're buying.
You have to look at the terms of the policy, the kind of insurance products that are out there, and how well that aligns with the kind of coverage your client seeks to get. And sometimes the alignment is very good, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes clients want even more insurance than the carriers are willing to sell them.
That's because cyber insurance is so new, carriers themselves don't entirely understand the risk either. The Obama administration is pushing companies to voluntarily share information about their own cyber risks. But regulations already exist that require this kind of disclosure. And experts say even that hasn't been enough to compel companies to talk. Meanwhile, the hackers are already one step ahead. For WNYC, I'm Kaomi Goetz.
With me is Adam Levin. He's the chairman and co-founder of Credit.com. And Adam, when you hear that companies are actually getting insurance, does that actually help consumers?
Well, it helps the companies. And arguably, if the companies are not being driven out of business, which would cost jobs, or their expenses go through the ceiling to the point where they have to pass those expenses on to consumers, it's helpful. But we got a real problem. I mean, we have a pandemic. And the thing that everyone has to adjust to is the concept that breaches are now the third certainty in life. Death, taxes, and breaches. That's it.
So if there is this new product for businesses, insurance, are there new developments for what consumers can do to try and protect themselves from this third fact of life?
Well, the reality is that as a consumer, you can do everything right. You can do everything everybody told you to do. You can shred. You can be covetous of the information you provide to third parties. You can secure your smartphone as if it were a computer. Do all that right. But if you're on the wrong database at the wrong moment and the wrong person gains unauthorized access to your data, and in particular, if it's like Anthem, where they get your Social Security number, they have an option on your life. And the question is not if, but when they're going to exercise that option.
I have to imagine that there are new products that are being created to try and help consumers if there is a breach or to prevent a breach from happening whatsoever of their information.
Well, the problem is that it's not about products being developed to prevent a breach, because a breach is going to happen whatever the consumer does. But consumers need to think of things that, for instance, mask your IP address when you're doing searches, because years ago they actually proved with a study that just based on searches a person does, they were able to actually zero in on the person.
You're a little fatalistic about whether or not your data is going to be hacked into at some point. Where do you fall on the spectrum of whether or not companies should be more forthright in whether or not they've had a data breach?
Well, I've been in favor of a national breach notification law and a national breach notification standard.
And what is that?
That means that first of all, there's a specific set period of time that a company has to actually go public. Because the minute your information is out there, it's really out there and you're at risk, and you need to know as soon as practically possible that you are in harm's way, so at least you can do some things about it.
Adam Levin is the chairman and co-founder of Credit.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the invite.
And you're listening to Money Talking. Don't forget, you can get this program as a podcast available on iTunes or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is WNYC.